Sunlight flares over the blue haze of the Earth's atmosphere, and light bounces off the planet's surface as it rotates. A word wraps around it as fiery dots spread across the continents. Universal. Light slides along the letters as more words appear. A Comcast company. In outer space, a constellation of 8 stars lights up in a galaxy and pulls away into a swirling circle. The stars dissolve into colourful waves of light that form the word Orion, an MGM company. Orion Pictures presents. Daytime. A black woman in her early 30s sings along with the radio while driving. She wears white gloves, a pink dress, and pearl earrings. She shares a smile with the teenage boy beside her, who grins while playfully singing along too. He wears a plaid cap and a yellow-collared shirt. The woman's smile fades. She glances at the boy beside her, then her eyes wander disquietedly. Her eyes glisten with tears and she stops mouthing the words to the song. Forcing a brief smile, she glances again at the teenager beside her. Later, the teenage boy jumps off a curb away from their parked car. The woman hurries after him, crossing a busy street. A low view gradually turns skyward to take in a tall multi-story building. Text appears, August 1955, Chicago, Illinois. Inside a department store, the woman carries a shoebox through a room of mostly white patrons. A white security guard appears in front of her. She stares at him. The guard watches her walk over to her teenage son. He holds a wallet. They walk away from the leather goods counter. At night, their car stops on a suburban street lined with cars. A black man smoking a cigarette strolls by with his suit jacket over his shoulder. The teen gets out carrying a shopping bag. He briskly goes up the front steps of a house and his mother slowly follows. Later in the living room, the boy stands close to the TV. The boy's mother sits on one end of the couch, and a man in his 30s sits on the other end. He shares an amused look with an older woman in an armchair. Beau's mother watches him obediently go over to his grandma. Beau gives the man a big hug. Beau waves goodbye and leaves. He nods. Beau's mother gazes off worriedly. Mrs. Spearman sinks onto the couch beside Mamie. She rises and switches off the TV. Mamie gives her a look. Mamie walks her mother to the front door. Mamie stands alone in the foyer, wearing a pensive look. In his room, Beau lies asleep. Mamie softly steps to his bedside and gazes down at his peaceful face. Mamie pulls the covers up a little higher, gently tucking him in. Watching Beau sleep, Mamie lingers a little longer, her eyes worried. The next morning in Mamie's room, she wakes with a start. Sitting up in bed, she looks at the radio on her fireplace mantel. In Beau's room, a low view shows him slipping on a sock. Next, he slides his feet into his brown leather shoes. Beau dons a watch, then stuffs some money into his new wallet, which features a stock photo of a white woman inside. Facing a mirror, Beau buttons his shirt. Beau opens the door for his mother, who enters with a pre-knotted tie. Taking her hand, Beau twirls her around and they dance. She fixes his tie. Mamie sits down on Beau's bed. Playfully hunching his shoulders, he crouches down and shuffles around the room. Watching him, Mamie breaks into an amused smile. Later in Mamie's room, she reaches into a yellow envelope with an army seal. She pulls out a chunky silver ring. An inscription reads, May 25, 1943, LT. Beau now sports a dark suit jacket with a pocket handkerchief that matches his tie. Mamie reluctantly offers the ring. Grinning, Beau slides it onto his finger. Beau goes and Mamie turns back to her mirror. It reflects her apprehensive expression as she dons a pair of pearl earrings. Looking down, Mamie's shoulders rise with a deep breath. Later, she and Beau arrive at a train station. They hug. He kisses her. Mamie kisses Beau's cheek. He takes his watch off. Mamie dons Beau's watch, then embraces him. Closing her eyes, she holds on for a moment. Beau follows his Uncle Moses. Pausing on the train step, Beau looks back and waves to his mother. Beaming with excitement, Beau disappears onto the train. It pulls away from the station where Mamie stands alone on the platform. Wearing a fine yellow swing dress, she clasps her gloved hands together. Her shoulders rise sharply with her stilted breathing as she watches Beau's train carry him farther away from her. With an expression of dread, Mamie gasps. Cut to black. The title appears. Till. On the train, Beau looks out of the window at the countryside. Cows graze in vast green fields bordered by thick trees. The teenager smiles. Suddenly, a white porter roughly taps Beau on the shoulder. Looking around, Beau notices all of the black passengers moving towards the back of the train. Beau gets up and joins them. The white passengers remain in their seats in the mostly vacant train car. Beau and the other black passengers file through a pair of yellow curtains at the back of the train car. Fade to black. The train passes through a dark tunnel towards intense daylight, which briefly floods the view. On another day, our view drifts down from the bright sky to a cotton field. Black workers pick fluffy cotton blossoms and put them in large sacks. Standing beside Wheeler, Beau gets distracted by a fly buzzing near his face. Beau claps his hands on the fly. The younger boy returns to his work. Standing with his hands in his pockets, Beau wears a bored expression. A mischievous smile crosses his face. He walks a few paces away, then stops and falls to the ground. He sits up. Moses steps over. Moses puts his hat on Simmy. Beau's uncle pats him on the shoulder and they walk through the field. Beau pauses to pick up his hat. Placing it firmly on his head, he glances back at his three cousins, then follows Moses. Later, the sun hangs low over the cotton fields, casting long shadows. A moving view passes a sign that reads, Money, Mississippi, population 398. A car pulls up near two black men seated across from each other. Wearing plaid shirts, they smoke cigarettes while playing checkers. Beau and his cousins get out of the car and approach a storefront where the men play checkers. Two of Beau's cousins join the older men seated at small tables on the store's front stoop. Wheeler goes inside and Beau lounges near the door. Beau looks curiously at the storefront, then goes inside. Beau wanders down a store aisle alone. Against the wall, canned goods are neatly stacked on shelves. A glass counter displays more items. Beau strolls over to the cash register. Wheeler walks away with his purchase. Beau grabs a handful of candy from a glass jar, then looks at the pale, raven-haired woman behind the counter. She stares at him. Meanwhile, Wheeler walks onto the stoop. Eating a snack, Simmy reluctantly stands up, his attention still on the checkers game. Beau shows the pale woman the stock photo of the white model inside his wallet. She glares at him and his smile fades. Beau places the money on the counter and Simmy drags him out. Looking back at the pale woman, Beau whistles. The pale woman stops in the doorway, her body rigid. Noting her demeanour, everyone freezes. Beau's playful expression falters and he looks around with confused eyes. The pale woman storms over to a pickup truck. Everyone scrambles away. Beau and his cousins pile into their car, which pulls away from the store. Beau and Simmy look out the back window. The pale woman aims a handgun at them. Simmy ducks down and their car speeds away. Beau faces forward, his mouth agape and eyes wide. Elsewhere, framed photos sit on a desk. One shows Mamie with her arm around Beau, who smiles. Another frame holds a baby picture of Beau. A wider view shows a large room filled with desks. Pushing a mail cart down a center aisle, a man drops an envelope onto Mamie's desk. She's the only black person in the office. Mamie sits still in her chair, gazing off forlornly. Glancing around, Mamie gets back to work. Later, in a black neighborhood, Mamie strides down a sidewalk towards a barber shop and goes inside. Just inside the door, Mamie stops and looks at her boyfriend who wears a white barber's jacket. She steps closer. He slowly nods and Mamie drops her gaze. They embrace and Mamie blinks her glassy eyes. A view from outside the shop shows the couple holding each other. After dark in Mississippi, two young black women walk through a parking lot. Beau swaggers over to the women, but two other guys get there first, so Beau rejoins his cousins. Wheeler gets between them and Maurice backs off. Maurice, Wheeler, Bo and Simmy sit down on the front of their car, taking in a view of the parking lot outside a juke joint. In Chicago, Mamie plays a card game in her dining room with two friends. Mamie drops her gaze, talking mostly to herself. She absently holds a lit cigarette in one hand. Willie Mae lays her cards down. Ollie picks up the cards. In Mississippi, Moses and his wife listen to the news in their living room. Bo starts to follow his cousins. In the hall, Bo's cousins listen as Bo turns back. In Mamie's house, a low view drifts over to her open bedroom door. Inside, she's kneeling on the floor beside her bed in a prayer pose. Wearing a long blue housecoat, Mamie keeps perfectly still with her head bowed. Later, Mamie climbs into bed and sits up on the mattress, pulling the covers over her legs. She gazes at Beau's watch on her wrist. Mamie slowly removes the watch and places it on her bedside table. Sliding further under the blankets, she lies down on her back with her arms draped over her stomach. Mamie's eyes wander as she turns her head to the side. She switches off the lamp, plunging the room into darkness. The inside of Moses' house appears. The view moves slowly through the dim hallway to the front door. Suddenly, yellow light shines through the cracks. In his pajamas, Moses goes to the door. Moses stands behind the door. At the back of the house, in his bedroom, Simmy looks at Bo. Mr. Bryant and another white man burst in, shoving Moses back against the wall. They search the house with flashlights. Maurice and Wheeler covertly look downstairs. The intruders reach Simmy's bedroom, where he and Bo stand up. The white men approach Bo, shining their flashlights in his face. Moses stands in the bedroom doorway. The other man towers over Simmy, who jumps onto his bed and curls up in the fetal position. Moses watches Bo hurriedly slide on a sock. His father's ring shines on his finger. Bo looks up at him. Mr. Bryant grabs him. The men drag Bo outside. The second man draws a gun. Moses steps in front of his wife as Mr. Bryant's brother aims his revolver at them. Bo's cousins watch from the porch while Bo is forced into the bed of a pickup. A light shines in Bo's face. The pale, raven-haired woman, Carolyn Bryant, looks at Bo through the truck's back window. A burly black man holds Bo down. Carolyn turns away. Moses slowly steps down from the front porch. His wife covers her ears with her hands and turns away. Her son embraces her. The white-topped pickup truck backs away, its headlights illuminating Moses' face while he helplessly watches it go. The light fades from Moses as the truck leaves. Slack-jawed, Moses remains rooted to the spot, his brow deeply furrowed. Moses' eyes glisten with tears in the darkness. He blinks, then bows his head for a moment. His chest heaves with deep breaths as he looks in the direction Bo has been taken. Later in the night, a distant view shows buildings on a plantation. The pickup truck stands next to a barn which emits a dim light. The next morning, a teenage black boy carries a water pail across the grassy plantation. Noticing something, he stops. A short distance away, he sees men hauling something over to the pickup truck. Watching them, the teenager's chest heaves. As the men start to get in the truck, the boy runs into a small house. At Mamie's house, she wakes abruptly and answers the phone. A little later, she rushes outside. Mamie sits in the dining room with her mom and others. Mamie nods hesitantly. She and her mother stay as the other women leave. Two men step into the room. The man approaches Mamie. Mamie starts to cry. Jean enters. He gives the address to Mamie. Mamie nods. He rises. Mr. Mooty leaves. Later, a vinyl record spins on a record player in Mamie's room. Our view drifts from the record player to Mamie, who sits alone on the edge of her bed with her gaze downcast. Mamie leans towards the record player. She slowly leans back and takes a deep breath. Mamie slowly closes her eyes. The next morning at NAACP headquarters, people rush down a staircase and along a busy hallway. Mr. Mooty leads Mamie and Jean down the hallway. Mamie carries a few pamphlets. She walks briskly beside Jean, who has a supportive hand on her back. Mr. Mooty leads them to an office. Mamie and Jean sit across from Mr. Huff. Mamie stares at him. Mr. Huff frowns and opens a folder. Mr. Huff pulls out some papers. Mamie's mouth quivers as she searches for words. Mr. Huff hesitates. Mr. Huff nods, his expression softening. He looks curiously at Mamie. Mamie takes a deep breath. Jean puts a hand on her shoulder. On another morning in Chicago, a black boy riding a bicycle tosses rolled newspapers. In slow motion, they land at a gate and a front stoop. The front page features a photograph of a smiling Emmett Till. At Mamie's house, Willie May answers the door. On the living room couch, a woman comforts Alma. Further inside the bustling house, Jean and Mamie use telephones. He hands Mamie the phone. Mamie hangs up and Jean puts his arm around her. From the dining room, they both look into the living room. As Ollie slowly steps inside, Willie May closes the front door. Ollie looks at Mamie. Mamie and Jean step closer. With her hands clasped together, Mamie stands in the living room entryway. Mamie stares glassy-eyed at Ollie. In shock, Mamie stares off with unfocused eyes. She stumbles backwards and Jean catches her as she collapses. Ollie's hand flies to her mouth and Alma leans forward on the couch. Picking up a magazine, Ollie fans Mamie's face, and Willie May kneels by her side. Two more young women hurry over and stand in the living room entryway. The first one doubles over and her friend rubs her back. They both look down at Mamie's still form. Meanwhile, Alma remains slumped over with grief. Her companions put their hands on her shoulders. Cut to black. Elsewhere on a TV set, a breaking news bulletin appears. A white couple watches the news. Elsewhere, a black family listens to a radio. In the daytime, Mamie watches TV in her living room. Jean joins Mamie. Jean rises. Outside, the front door opens and Mamie steps onto the covered porch, followed by Mr. Mooty. Mr. Mooty closes the door. Mamie moves wearily to a padded deck chair with her hands loosely clasped in front of her. With his hat in hand, Mr. Mooty stands awkwardly near the door while Mamie lowers herself into the chair. She looks away. He stands motionless, his hat in his hands. Mr. Mooty gazes at Mamie, who continues to sit up straight and still in her chair. Mamie continues to face forward with her gaze unfocused, as if in her own world. Mr. Mooty looks around, then shifts on his feet as he works up to talking. Mamie turns her head away, but Mr. Mooty walks over and stands before her. She stares directly at him for a long moment. Mr. Mooty deflates under Mamie's grief-stricken, reprimanding glare. Her shoulders droop and she looks away again. Mr. Mooty nods. He slowly walks away from her and down the porch steps. Our view stays focused on Mamie as Mr. Mooty leaves. Mamie blinks her glassy eyes. She tilts her face upward and sways slightly, her chest moving up and down with stilted breaths. Now bright light fills the view. A blurry shape in the distance comes into focus. It's Emmett's bedroom window with sunlight shining in. Viewed from behind, Mamie stands at the foot of Emmett's bed wearing a black dress. The light yellow wallpaper around her is decorated with illustrations of cars, boats and planes. From the hallway, Jean steps into the room behind Mamie. Wearing a tan suit jacket, Jean sighs as Mamie stands unresponsive with her arms crossed. Mamie stands very still, her gaze downcast. She's wearing Emmett's watch on her wrist. She blinks back tears. Jean puts a hand on Mamie's shoulder and starts to wrap an arm around her, but she twists away from him. As Jean watches Mamie leave the room, his shoulders fall with a deep breath. A view through a doorway shows Alma sitting on the edge of Mamie's bed, her gaze downcast. Alma moves her head away slightly, keeping her gaze on the floor. Mamie slowly sits down beside her mother, who remains still. Alma's face crumples with emotion and she tearfully shakes her head. Mamie looks away. Taking Alma's hand, Mamie shifts closer and puts an arm around her. Later, at the train station, a close view shows Mamie's tear-filled eyes. Mamie's eyes shift, following a train as it pulls into the station. Behind her stands a crowd of black people. Some white travellers stroll across the platform. Mamie is seated in the wheelchair. Beside her, black porters stand with a long, flat trolley. The train slows to a stop in front of Mamie, and an open car door reveals a wooden crate inside. Through bloodshot, glassy eyes, Mamie watches soldiers and the porters carefully unload the crate. White and black reporters step closer to the train to snap photographs of the long wooden box. The muscles around Mamie's eyes twitch, her gaze locked onto the crate as the porters gently set it down on the trolley. She's wheeled over to the crate. Lurching out of the wheelchair, she clings to the box. Jean and a religious leader support her as she sinks to the floor. A camera light flashes on her face. Later in a funeral home, the director stands with Jean and Mamie beside a covered body. The men hold handkerchiefs to their faces. Mamie gazes down at the white linen sheet. A low view is blocked by another table as the funeral director slowly pulls the sheet away from the upper half of the body. Looking down at the body, Jean's shoulders heave. He keeps his handkerchief clasped over his nose and mouth. Mamie stands unmoving. Jean touches Mamie's shoulder, then follows the funeral director out of the room. Our view slowly rises over the tabletop. Mamie looks down at Emmett's bloated and mutilated body. Mamie gradually composes herself, looking down towards Emmett's covered feet. Mamie slowly pulls the sheet aside to reveal one of Emmett's legs and his foot. Emmett's leg and foot are badly swollen. Mamie's jaw tenses and her eyes glisten with tears. Gazing down at Emmett's leg, Mamie slowly reaches toward him. Mamie wears a pearl bracelet on her petite wrist. Her soft hand with red painted nails and smooth skin stands out in sharp contrast to Emmett's scarred, swollen leg. Mamie gently places her hand on Emmett's foot. Tears fall from her face. Mamie's lips tremble as more tears fall. She breathes out through her mouth. Her hand leaves Emmett's foot and moves up to his knee. Mamie presses her lips together, then takes some more deep breaths. Mamie pulls her hand away from Emmett's knee. A cloth covers his hips. His gnarled hands rest at his sides on the metal table, and his stomach is distended. Mamie moves up further. She blinks rapidly, her brows tightening as she gazes down at Emmett's battered face. Deep wounds mark the side of his head. Leaning closer, Mamie's chin shakes as she peers at her son's injuries. She sways, her face crumpling with anguish. She doubles over with her face close to his. She rests her forehead on his shoulder. She slowly raises her tear-stained face. Mamie gradually becomes still and her tears slow. A long deep wound mars Emmett's temple. Mamie sways a little, then slowly straightens, placing a hand on Emmett's chest. Mamie looks at her son's face through tear-filled eyes. Blinking rapidly, she lifts her head. A little later, Mamie approaches Jean and the director in the funeral home's lobby. Jean turns to Mamie. She nods. The funeral director nods, then leaves the couple alone. Jean puts his hand on Mamie's shoulder and gazes sadly at her for a long moment. Jean reluctantly leaves Mamie alone. Mamie stands with her head held high and a determined expression on her grief-stricken face. She walks outside to face a group of white and black reporters and photographers. Her eyes scan the crowd. She points to a black male photographer and he follows her into the funeral home. Later, he sets up his camera near Emmett's body, which is now dressed in the black suit. They stand near Emmett's head. Mamie gazes down at his disfigured face while Jean embraces her from behind. Jean stares directly into the camera as the bulb flashes, creating a black-and-white photograph. The picture becomes part of a magazine cover. The issue is dated September 15, 1955. Words on the cover read, "Will Mississippi ignore Emmett Till's murder?" and exclusive, shocking pictures and brutal stories. Jean listens to Mamie's voice on the radio while he works in the barbershop. On another day, mourners pack the street outside a church. Inside, Mamie pins photographs to the underside of a casket lid. One shows her standing beside teenage Emmett with her arm around him. Another photo shows a grinning Emmett posing by himself wearing a shirt and tie. The last one is a baby picture which Mamie tenderly touches with her gloved hand. Mourners fill the church behind her. She leans down to Emmett's face. She blinks back tears. Mamie turns around. Wheeler stands behind his mother. She shuffles closer. Mamie slowly takes Lizzie's hand. Lizzie nods, then starts to break down. Trying to compose herself, Lizzie slowly steps closer and looks down at Emmett's face. Leaning on Mamie, she doubles over in anguish. Two men come forward. Mamie steps aside, allowing the men to help Lizzie, who can barely stand. They help her away as Wheeler shuffles forward. His face tear-stained, he keeps his gaze down as he passes Mamie. She nods and Wheeler looks into the casket at his cousin. Wheeler's brow furrows and he shifts on his feet. A middle-aged woman pays her respects to Mamie, then goes to Wheeler's side. Mamie's shining eyes look around the church, then she steps away from the casket. Black mourners wait in line to view Emmett's body. An elderly man at the front of the line pauses. A young boy holding his hand looks away from Emmett's face. They walk away and a grey-haired woman takes their place. Another woman's face contorts with emotion as she looks into the casket. She swiftly moves away. Another mourner shakes her head as she passes by with a teenage boy. Our view looks directly into the casket at Emmett's body. His once handsome young face is bloated and mutilated beyond recognition, and his eye is gone. Our view gradually pulls back from Emmett as another mourner approaches. The young woman covers her mouth with her hand. Mourners continue to pass by, taking in the photos of Emmett and his disfigured face. A missionary dressed in all white stands at the head of the casket. She monitors the mourners as they view the body. White flowers lie either side of the casket. The church choir stands on the dais wearing purple robes and mourners fill the rest of the room. The view cuts to black. Now in her kitchen, Mamie holds a newspaper that reads, "Two men charged for murder of Chicago boy." Mr. Mooty is standing across from Mamie holding a cup and saucer. Mamie stares at the newspaper article. Frowning, Mamie glances at him, then looks at the paper. He gently sets the cup and saucer down. Lowering the paper, Mamie stares off grimly. Mamie looks directly at him. Looking away, Mamie blinks her shining eyes. Gazing off pensively, Mamie stands very still. Later, Mamie is sitting alone in the barber shop, her sorrowful gaze downcast. Jean enters through a curtained doorway. Seeing him, Mamie stands up. Jean checks his watch. Sliding his hands into his trouser pockets, Jean slowly moves a few steps closer to Mamie, then stops a couple of yards away. Mamie averts her gaze, blinking rapidly. Mamie's hands tremble as she pulls off a glove and digs through her handbag. She shows Jean a piece of paper. He peers at her, unblinking. As she gazes into Jean's eyes, he moves closer. With their faces only inches apart, Jean caresses Mamie's cheek, then plants a long, tender kiss on her lips. They gently touch their foreheads together. On another day in Mamie's living room, she looks at a pile of hate mail on the coffee table. A piece on top of the pile shows a hand-drawn phallus over Emmett's photograph in a newspaper clipping. Mamie peeks outside, then lets her parents in. A little later, in the living room. Looking away, Alma nods unhappily. Mamie's father takes the pile of hate mail from her hands and drops it on the coffee table. He looks at Alma. He embraces Mamie. After a moment, he pulls away and looks her in the eye. She nods. On another day, in an idyllic Mississippi town, middle-class black residents stroll along a sidewalk. A shining green pickup truck drives down the street and a well-dressed black couple exit an insurance office. The couple and several other residents cross a street. In single file, three black cars approach the intersection and make a turn, then pass over train tracks. Mamie sits in the front passenger seat of one of the vehicles as her driver fills her in. While her driver steers, Mamie looks out at the hospital and black residents of Mount Bayou. Later, the three cars arrive at a large colonial house with a four-columned portico and white picket fence. Two guards stand at the gate. Mamie's driver stops their car directly at the gate. The guards open her door and the back door for her father. Mamie turns to the driver. Mamie starts to go. She turns back. Gazing at Medgar pensively, Mamie gives a subtle nod. She gets out of the car. A little later, Medgar shows Mamie and her father through the bustling house. Medgar points out some of the reporters. Mamie gazes wistfully at Daryl. Out back, children play in a pool. They stand at the pool's edge. Dr. Howard regards her thoughtfully. Mamie averts her gaze. Mamie wears a pensive expression. They both gaze out over the swimming pool. Dr. Howard wears dark-rimmed glasses, a white suit and a bow tie. Mamie's features take on a contemplative expression as she watches the children play. On another day, the three black cars travel down a dusty side road. They pass a sign that reads, "Sumner, a good place to raise a boy." The cars turn onto a country highway. Later, the cars pull up outside a courthouse. White people are already making their way inside. Medgar climbs out of the driver's seat of the second car, then comes around to open Mamie's door. Getting out of the back seat, Mamie's father takes her arm. Mamie clutches her purse in her black-gloved hands. She also wears a long-sleeved, white-coloured grey dress, a pair of earrings, and Emmett's watch. Medgar and Mamie's father protectively flank her as they approach the courthouse and a crowd of white reporters. Mamie faces the reporters. A white boy shoots a cap gun at her. The boy laughs as people duck fearfully. Medgar and Mamie's father usher her up the courthouse steps. She looks over at the boy, who snickers with a friend. Inside, white folks walk straight into the courtroom. Mamie's father stops her from following. They step aside and wait as more white people pass them on their way inside. Just ahead of Mamie and her father, white deputies frisk the black attendees. Mamie glares at one of them. The deputies pat down Mamie and her father. The white deputy frisking Mamie rubs her shoulder, then steers her away from the wall. Mamie's father glares at him, and the deputy stares back, stony-faced. Waiting for Mamie and her father at the door, Medgar glowers at the deputy. The white man shamelessly shakes his head. Inside the courtroom, the seats are packed with an all-white crowd. The black attendees stand at the back. Medgar and Amesie shake hands. Mamie looks at her small group of black supporters. Medgar leads Mamie and her father down the aisle. A heavyset man nears. He offers a document. The prosecutor, Mr. Smith, ignores Mamie's offered handshake. Medgar leads Mamie. People stand up. Mamie and the others sit. The bailiff lets the jurors in. Entering in single file, they take their seats. Mamie sits up straight in her chair, her body rigid as she observes the all-white, all-male jury. At the prosecutor's table, Mr. Smith's associate rises. Mamie looks at the Bryants. Carolyn holds their little boy. Mamie's eyes glisten with tears as Carolyn stands up with her son in her arms. Mamie leans towards Medgar. His eyes narrow. Mamie's father watches her with worried eyes. Later, a moving view travels down a road. The sun hangs low over the vast cotton fields. Mamie looks out at them as she rides in the front passenger seat next to Medgar. Mamie's eyes shift ahead to the road sign that reads Money, Mississippi, population 398. Mamie shares a look with Medgar as they pass the sign. Later they arrive at the Bryant store and Medgar parks their car on the desolate street in front of the building. Mamie and Medgar stay in their seats. The rearview mirror reflects Mamie's eyes as she takes in the storefront. Mamie looks at him. Medgar sighs and Mamie returns her gaze to the store. Mamie gets out while Medgar waits in the car. A view from inside the store shows Mamie approaching. She clutches her bag in both hands and her pleated skirt blows around her legs as she slowly ascends the front steps. Mamie walks across the stoop and gazes through the glass storefront. Inside, canned goods are neatly stacked on a center shelf. Rakes and shovels stand upright. Signs on the walls advertise products for sale, including eggs and soda. Something catches Mamie's attention. She imagines Emmett strolling away from her, moving in slow motion down a store aisle. He browses the items on display. Walking around the central shelf towards the cash register, Emmett's eyes curiously rove around the store. He wears his brimmed hat and a short-sleeved shirt with braces. Mamie swallows as she watches Emmett approach the register. Carolyn Bryant watches warily as Emmett selects a handful of candy from the glass jar on the counter. Noticing Carolyn behind the cash register, Emmett stops and stares at her. Mamie drops her gaze, then looks around the outside of the storefront. She turns and walks away. Later at Moses' house, Simeon and Maurice feed hens in the front yard. Noticing a black car approaching, Maurice stands up. He slowly walks towards the car, then stops several yards away as Mamie gets out. Later in Simmy's room, Mamie is sitting on the bed holding an unfinished letter that Emmett was writing to her. Mamie gently strokes the page with her thumb, then touches Emmett's handwriting with her finger. Mamie's nostrils flare and she sets the letter aside. Blinking back tears, she looks at Simmy. Maurice watches from the doorway. Simmy looks down, then gives Mamie Emmett's hat. Simmy nods and takes a step back. Mamie gently strokes the hat. Mamie and Simmy turn to Maurice. Mamie takes Simmy and Maurice's hands in hers. Simmy nods, then looks from her to Maurice with a deep sigh. Mamie embraces the boys and holds them. She rubs Maurice's back. Over Maurice's shoulder, Mamie's eyes fall on a shotgun mounted on the wall near the front door. Beside a river, Moses is perched on a log wearing denim overalls and a white shirt. Gazing pensively at the muddy water, he holds a Bible in one hand. Mamie nears and stands several yards away from him in the shade of a big tree. She looks at the river for a moment, then faces Moses. He gestures with his head to space on the log beside him. She doesn't move. Mamie slowly takes a few steps closer, then stops at a distance from him. He nods warily. With a furrowed brow, Moses shakes his head and looks away. Mamie stares at him, and he peers at her with shining eyes. With her back to him, Mamie tearfully steps away. She stops near the edge of the riverbank, facing the water. Moses stands up and walks over to her. He moves his mouth as if to say something else, then drops his gaze. Mamie tries to hold back her tears. Shifting awkwardly on his feet, Moses puts his hands in his pockets and looks out at the river. Tears fall from Mamie's cheeks and Moses' shoulders rise and fall with deep breaths. Elsewhere at night, Medgar readies a revolver. He's sitting in a car with Amesie, Ruby and James Hicks. Surrounded by lush greenery, the black sedan's headlights go dark. Ruby gets out, softly shutting the door behind her. A distant view of the plantation shows the small house and the barn where Emmett was lynched. Ruby, Amesie and Medgar sneak across the plantation. In the lead, Medgar holds the pistol at the ready. The men stand lookout while Ruby goes up the steps to the front door of the house and knocks. A light turns on. Medgar spots the boy running away. Medgar sprints after him into the woods. Ruby follows Amesie away from the house. They run back across the field. Meanwhile, Medgar pursues the boy through the dark woods. The boy glances over his shoulder at Medgar, who's catching up. The boy runs out onto a dirt road, but an oncoming car cuts him off. Behind him, Medgar blocks his escape. Later, in Dr. Howard's house, Mamie approaches his study. They notice Mamie at the door. Later. Willie dresses. Mamie notices Willie struggling with his necktie. Standing by a window, Merle watches Mamie, who ties a Windsor knot for Willie. Mamie gently pulls the knot up to Willie's collar. She folds down his collar. Mamie nods tearfully. She glances at Merle, then walks out of Dr. Howard's study. Medgar hands Willie a pair of dress shoes to go with his borrowed formal outfit for court. Wearing an uneasy expression, Merle shifts on her feet. Later, a view from a hallway shows Mamie seated at Dr. Howard's dining table. Merle pours her a hot beverage. An armed security guard stands outside the dining room entryway. Merle pours herself some as well, then sits down. Mamie nods. Merle slowly sips her drink. Lowering her cup, she covers her mouth with her hand. Merle drops her troubled gaze. Mamie holds out her hand to the young mother and Merle takes it. Her chest rises with a deep breath and she looks at Mamie. Merle nods slowly. A distant view shows the women holding hands. On a sunny day, the black sedan drives down a country highway. The car passes a sign that reads Tallahatchie County. Later in the courtroom, Moses sits in the witness box. Moses looks at Mr. Bryant. Mamie's eyes are fixed on Moses. Dropping his gaze, Moses wrings his hands, then looks at Simi and Maurice standing at the back of the room. Maurice puts his arm over his little brother's shoulders. Moses' brow furrows and he shakes his head. Moses opens his mouth to reply, then hesitates. He turns to Mamie, who regards him with a steady gaze, her eyes shining. Moses gives a small nod. All of the black people in the room watch Moses intently. He looks at his sons. Moses stands up and points to Mr. Milam. Mr. Milam shares a look with his brother, Mr. Bryant. Twisting in her seat, Mamie looks towards the back of the room. Moses ushers his sons out ahead of him, then stops at the door to gaze back at Mamie. Moses and Mamie share a lingering look. Moses nods, then leaves. Later, Mr. Bryant and Mr. Milam smirk. Willie stands nervously at the front of the room. Willie blinks rapidly. Beside her husband, Carolyn smirks. Wearing an oversized suit jacket, Willie looks at Mamie with an ashamed expression. Mamie's father gives the young man an understanding nod. Willie hurries away, passing Mamie and her father on his way out. Carolyn gives Mamie the side eye. Later, the white, heavy-set man who gave Mamie the summons sits in the witness box. Sheriff Strider remains seated. Frowning, Mamie stares at Sheriff Strider. Later in a bathroom, Mamie washes her hands. Emmett's watch gleams on her wrist. Turning off the tap, Mamie dries her hands. Sunlight from a window illuminates one side of Mamie's face. She steels herself, looking at her reflection in the mirror. She takes a deep breath, then walks out. Mamie sits in the witness box. Mamie looks towards the jury, then drops her gaze. The white female court stenographer glances at Mamie, who takes a deep breath. Behind her, Judge Swango listens. Mamie closes her eyes. Her eyelids flutter. She opens her eyes. She looks at the jury. Tears glisten in her eyes. Mamie's lips tremble as a tear slides down her cheek. Mamie looks at it. He shows her another photo. Her eyes sweep the courtroom. Tears slide down Mamie's face as she speaks to herself. Mamie leaves the witness box. Her father shares a somber look with Medgar, then turns away with a sigh. Noticing his demeanour, Hicks gently pats Mr. Carthen's shoulder. Nighttime. In Dr. Howard's house, Mamie's mournful gaze is reflected back to her in a window. The glass blurs the edges of Mamie's image as she peers off pensively. Mamie's eyes shift and she looks directly at her reflection. The next morning, a golden sun rises over a silhouetted tree line. Later in the courtroom, Mamie's shoulders rise with a deep breath. Carolyn's on the stand. Carolyn shrugs, then nods. The defense attorney approaches her. She demonstrates grabbing her own wrist. Carolyn feigns distress as she grips her wrist. Frowning, Mamie glares at Carolyn. Medgar rubs his face. Carolyn nods. Standing up, Carolyn dramatically places a hand over her heart as the attorney helps her down from the witness box. Carolyn demonstrates. Mamie exits the courtroom. Her father and Medgar follow her out. Later in the car. Without reacting to the news, Mamie gazes out of the car window. They pass by a grocery store, a pharmacy, and a barber shop. On the sidewalk, middle-class black people pause to look at Mamie. Many acknowledge her with a respectful nod or tip of the hat. A farmer sells vegetables out of the back of a pickup truck, which sits parked in front of a mortician's office. Mamie stares out of the car window. Elsewhere on another day, Mr. Mooty stands on an outdoor platform. He whispers in Mamie's ear. He steps away and Mamie stands by the microphones. Wearing glasses and an all-black outfit, she looks out at the crowd. Behind Mamie, Mr. Mooty stands up and applauds. Mamie gazes out at thousands of black people gathered before her. In the crowd, young men and women fervently clap their hands. Mamie nods at the crowd, then looks gratefully over her shoulder at her supporters on stage. On another day back in Chicago, the inside of Mamie's vacant house is gloomy and still. Our view looks down the hallway at the front door. Mamie shuffles in alone, carrying a large suitcase. She closes the door. Wearing her black dress, Mamie looks around, then sets her suitcase down. Mamie casts another glance over the big, empty house. Later, in her room, she opens her suitcase on the bed. Inside, her clothes are neatly folded. A low view shows Mamie slipping her feet out of her black-heeled shoes. Mamie removes her glasses and her earrings. Taking off a sparkly necklace, Mamie sets it on a tray next to a folding fan. Next, Mamie slides Emmett's watch off her wrist. Holding it in her hands, she gazes at its face. Later, Mamie sits on the edge of her bed. Light from her bedside lamp silhouettes her slim, straight-backed figure. She remains very still for a long moment. Mamie rises and goes to the record player in front of her. She slowly turns the player on and adjusts the tone arm on a record. Taking a step back, Mamie stands very still. Mamie slowly tilts her face up. She stands there for a long time, unmoving. A little later, Mamie approaches Emmett's dimly lit bedroom. Mamie slowly steps inside and light from the window illuminates her weary face. Standing near the door, Mamie's gaze wanders around her son's room. A tall chest of drawers stands against one wall, the fireplace along another. As Mamie turns her head, the room gradually brightens with warm sunlight. Gazing at something, Mamie breaks into a wistful smile. Our view drifts around the room in a counterclockwise fashion. The mirror over the mantel shows Emmett's blurry reflection. Next, our view passes over a small corner bookshelf, then Emmett's neatly made bed. A wooden shelf shaped like an aeroplane hangs over it. Mamie imagines her beaming teenage son standing across from her. Emmett wears his vacation clothes, a collared shirt, tan pants with a belt, and his brimmed hat. His watch shines on his wrist. Mamie smiles lovingly at her son, her eyes shining. The light in the room intensifies, gradually flooding the view. Cut to black. Text appears. Mamie's actions helped galvanize a movement that led to the passage of the 1957 Civil Rights Act. She dedicated her life to educating children while continuing the fight for civil rights in America. Medgar Evers would become a heroic leader in the civil rights movement. 8 years after the trial, he was assassinated outside his home in front of Merle and their children. Less than 1 year after the trial, J.W. Milam and Roy Bryant confessed to murdering Emmett Till in an interview for Look magazine. They were paid $4,000 and lived the rest of their lives as free men. Carolyn Bryant Donham has never been prosecuted for her part in Emmett Till's murder. Mamie and Jean Mobley married in 1957 and remained together until Jean's death in 2000. Mamie passed away in 2003. The Emmett Till Anti-Lynching Act was signed into law on March 29, 2022. 67 years after Emmett's murder. We dedicate this film in loving memory of the life and legacy of Mrs. Mamie Till Mobley. Titles appear, directed by Chinonye Chukwu. Written by Michael Riley and Keith Beauchamp and Chinonye Chukwu. Produced by Keith Beauchamp, PGA, Barbara Broccoli, PGA, Whoopi Goldberg, Thomas Levine, Michael Riley, Frederick Zollo, PGA. Executive Producers Preston Holmes, Chinonye Chukwu. Director of Photography Bobby Bukowski. Production Designer Kurt Beach. Editor Ron Pertain, ACE. Costume Designer Marcy Rogers. Music by Abel Korzeniowski. Casting by Kim Coleman. Danielle Deadweiler. Jalen Hall. Kevin Carroll. Frankie Faison. Haley Bennett. Jamie Lawson. Tosin Cole. Sean Patrick Thomas. John Douglas Thompson. Roger Gwenver Smith. And Whoopi Goldberg. Consulting producer Simeon Wright. Orion Pictures presents An Eon Production, a Frederick Zollo production in association with Whoop Inc. A film by Chinonye Chukwu. Till. Credits continue on screen. American Humane monitored the animal action. No animals were harmed. Visit the Orion Pictures website at orionpictures.com. No person or entity associated with this film received payment or anything of value or entered into any agreement in connection with the depiction of tobacco products. This motion picture is based on true events, however, some of the characters, names and certain locations and events have been changed and others have been fictionalized for dramatization purposes. Copyright 2022 Orion Releasing LLC, all rights reserved. Orion Releasing LLC is the author and creator of this motion picture for the purpose of copyright and other laws in all countries throughout the world. This motion picture is protected under the laws of the United States and other countries. Unauthorized duplication, distribution, or exhibition may result in civil liability and criminal prosecution. Audio description by Deluxe was read by Alan Blyton. A logo reads Orion, an MGM company. A striped letter A stands tucked behind a solid U, United Artists Releasing.